I was laughing this morning when I was thinking about the gospel and thinking that if God counts the hairs on our heads, that every year it gets easier and easier for him, for me, anyway. It happens to most men as we get older. Today, the theme of the scripture, one of the themes, is fear. The prophet Jeremiah speaks about terror, that people are tearing him down and that they're threatening him and that he's going to be persecuted and perhaps his life will be taken. And he rises up to God to trust in salvation. And then Jesus says in the gospel, the first line, fear no one. Fear no one. Only fear the loss of your soul. There's nothing else to be afraid of. And so I think about fear, but I also think today is Father's Day. And how do those two things go together? What do fathers and fear have to do with each other? And I thought about an interview I saw a couple weeks ago with a great American actor, Denzel Washington. And most of you probably know who Denzel Washington is. Normally in a homily, I don't quote a Hollywood actor. I don't know that they have a lot to offer us necessarily. But this really stuck in my mind. And Denzel Washington was talking about growing up. And he said he had two friends. And the three of them hung out together. They played together. They went to school together. They went to each other's house. They graduated together from high school. And he made the point that both of those friends of his are now serving time in prison. And yet he has risen to become a great actor. And he said, the only thing I can think, the only difference between their families and mine is that I grew up with a father. And he said, my father wasn't perfect. There's a lot of things he did wrong. But my father was always there, and he always was trying to instruct me in something wise and good. And not to make the point that it's a fait accompli, but it does reflect our culture and society. Because when it comes to fear and fatherhood, a lot of men are afraid to embrace fatherhood. They're afraid of it. And what ends up happening is the very thing fathers are supposed to teach children, not to be afraid. They're supposed to teach them courage. They end up abandoning that role, and then we get more of a culture of fear. What are you afraid of right now? We're being told to be afraid of a lot of things. Just listen to the radio, watch the internet, turn on the television. You're gonna get sick. There's violence everywhere. There's incompetence everywhere. You have to be on the right side of this issue or it's gonna be bad. Be afraid. And Jesus says, fear no one. So I'd like to offer you three fathers who I think are good examples of teaching courage and can maybe give us some hope. Because ultimately, God our Father, and Jesus refers to our Father several times in the gospel, God our Father wants us to be able to approach him, to have the courage and fortitude not to be afraid, but to fall into his fatherly arms of love. That is the point. So the first example I'd like to offer, and it was really, I read a great book back in January, Father Donald Calloway, and it's a book about St. Joseph and about kind of a new activation of consecration of St. Joseph. And this book is quite detailed in terms of his life and the different titles he has. And one of the titles of St. Joseph is Terror of Demons. And when I first read that, I was like, why is St. Joseph the terror of demons? I mean, wouldn't it be some other saint, you know, like Padre Pio or, St. Francis even. But St. Joseph, he was so quiet. What did St. Joseph do? And yet St. Joseph is the epitome of courage. Why is St. Joseph courageous? Think about this scenario. You're in Bethlehem. You've made this forced journey with your pregnant wife. She's given birth to a child who was born in a stable, had to be laid in a food trough, and you're kind of staying with relatives. And there's this evil leader that is known to be very wicked and very cruel, and at any point there could be some sort of massive violent outbreak, and yet you have to remain in this place. And then these three strangers from the east show up, and they bring you these quite expensive gifts and worship the child and say, yes, he is a great sign. And then they say, we met with King Herod, and we're supposed to go tell him. And of course, Herod finds out, and there's going to be a slaughter. Imagine if soldiers came and they were going to kill all the little babies, 2 years old and under, all the male babies, 2 years old and under. And then you're told you've got to leave under cover of darkness. You have no time to plan or organize. You have nothing except gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And you've got to go to a foreign country, a country you've never been to a place you've never been to. You have to go to this country. You have no job. You have no work. You have no place to live. But you have to go to save the child from what is to come. You know, I think if I were St. Joseph, I would be a little afraid. Those are pretty crazy circumstances. And yet, St. Joseph was told by the angel, the first thing, be not afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary. Don't be afraid to make that journey. Don't be afraid to go to Egypt. Joseph was obedient. So Joseph teaches us obedience. And his obedience to God, there is no fear, because he completely trusts God. Nothing bad is going to happen. So maybe if you're a little afraid, you can make a prayer of intercession to St. Joseph, that his trust could be your trust. Because when we truly trust in God, in essence, then we become the terror of demons as well. They don't terrorize us because they are afraid of obedience. And they're afraid of that holy courage and fortitude. So, the next example I'd like to give you, since it's Father's Day and I thought a lot about my own dad, a story I've kind of been playing, a memory that came up last fall that I really pondered, because as an adult now, I think about it and I think, wow, that must have been a lot scarier than it seemed to me at the time. You know, when you see one of the scariest things you see sometimes, which is really funny, is like a dad with a newborn child. And they're like, you know, they don't like how to hold it, and they're afraid they're going to drop it. And sometimes they're like, Father, do you want to hold the child? Like they're, you know, it's like, well, I might drop it too. I don't know. So anyway, I think when my dad was very young, he used to talk to me about going camping. And he said, I want to take you out camping. And I said, that sounds great. He goes, we can be guys together. We'll go out in the woods and we'll have an adventure together. And I said, Dad, that sounds great. I was just wide-eyed. And so my dad borrowed a tent, borrowed camping supplies, and we drove, I grew up in Texas, and we drove about an hour and a half outside of Dallas to this campground. And I just remember it was so neat being with my dad. I can remember my dad bought me a slushie. I thought I was just the luckiest guy in the world that my dad would stop and buy me a slushie on our way to our big adventure. So we get there. My poor father struggles with the tent. He gets it set up. We get the campsite set up, and he goes, all right, how about we go for a hike? And I said, let's go for a hike. And I think the hike must have been probably no more than 100 yards. You know, I was so little and couldn't go far, but we went out. But when we came back, there was a really strange thing. The campsite had kind of been torn up, and some of our supplies had been open. And I remember looking down, and my dad had brought a bar of soap, because it was one of those campsites where you could walk, you know, a little ways down, and there were some facilities. And he brought a bar of soap, and there was a big bite taken out of the soap. And I looked at it, and I picked it up, and I was like, what took a bite out of our soap? I mean, if they can bite the soap, imagine what they can bite me. What's here biting this? And my dad said, oh, don't worry about it. There's nothing to be afraid of. After a bite of that soap, that thing, whatever it is not coming back, trust me. So, and he's like, all right, no, nothing to worry about. Well, one thing that my father had done, he made a mistake. He had not checked the weather forecast. So in the middle of the night, a tremendous rainstorm came up, and we had kind of saw people leaving as we were going to bed. So we were kind of isolated at the time, and it started raining, and the tent had a leak in it, and it just started coming in the tent, and I was just getting wet and everything. And my dad was like, isn't this great? This is what camping's all about. You know, sleeping in a wet tent. Yeah, all right. Okay, this is what it is. Fine, let's have fun. So, you know, we kind of made our way through the night, and when the sun broke, it was still pouring rain, and we kind of packed the tent, soaking wet, got the stuff in his car, and then started to drive out, and the car got stuck in the mud. And my poor dad tried to push the car for an hour, made no progress, and he came up and he said, okay, the car's stuck, so we're gonna go for another hike. This one might be a little longer than the one we took yesterday, but let's go. It'll be good, and it'll be adventure. So we started hiking out of the campsite. my dad, I got tired pretty quickly, so he put me up on his shoulders, and he said, look, there's a farmhouse over there. He goes, I bet you they have a phone, because it was well before the age of any kind of cell phones. And he said, let's go and see if we can use their phone. So we went to this farmhouse. My dad said, you stay right here. I can see you, but I'm going to go up and knock on the door and ask if we can use the phone. So pretty quickly, my dad comes back out, and he says, well, that's not going to work out. No worries. We're going to keep hiking. Well, what had happened, I didn't know that, but when my dad had asked if he could use the phone, and, you know, he'd see his pouring rain and my little kid there, the people were just hateful. They said, get off the property. We don't want you coming in here. We don't want to have anything to do with you. So my dad, you know, he would just stay positive. This is an adventure. This is good. And so then we hitchhiked. And no sooner that we put out the thumb, but this old truck pulls up, and there's this kind of old guy in there, and he says, I'll give you a ride into town. So we hop in the car, and I remember that this guy was coughing a lot, the driver. So it was my dad on my right. I was in the middle of the cab, and the driver on the left, he was coughing a lot, and there was a weird smell. And later on, I realized that was alcohol. So I smelled, I'd never really smelled it like that before. And as we're coming over this bridge, it's a pretty tall bridge, as I recollect, coming into town, I looked over, and the guy driving literally just slumps over into my lap, passed out. And then the car starts to veer right for the edge of the bridge. I mean, I can really see the guardrail. And my father, just without getting nervous or panicking, just reaches over gently, grabs the wheel, puts it back on the road, holds the car to the road until we get over the bridge, and then knocks the guy's foot off the gas, and then brings the car to rest kind of off the side and the shoulder. And he said, well, I guess that's it for our ride, Bart. Let's get out. We're done. And the guy wakes up and goes, oh, I'll take you into town. My dad says, no, thank you so much for the ride. We're going to hike for the rest of the way. We're ready for a hike. So anyway, we hiked another mile or so and got into town and got some help. And I just think about, my dad had to be terrified. And I just remember him as being courageous and didn't have anything to fear. That's the way it was, and it's a good memory. For some reason, though, I don't like to camp anymore. I'm not sure why that is, but I don't know. Anyway, so, you know, I know I struggled a lot in the fall. My dad was kind of sick, and thank God he's in good health now, but, you know, you begin to think about losing him, and sometimes in fatherhood, you know, part of that is seeing that cycle, you know, as it comes around. And you know who I thought, and the third person I'm going to think about tonight, and I'm going to be a little personal with this, is Father Mark. Because Father Mark lost his dad a few years back. And whether he realized it or not, I'm sure he hasn't thought about it, he taught a lot of us priests about loss and about fatherhood as he was losing his own dad. And it was very powerful, and it was very good. And I also think about what Father Mark has sacrificed being here. I can remember, like 5 years into priesthood, someone gave me my first Father's Day card. And I thought, why are you giving me? And then I thought, well, I guess people call me Father more than anybody else. I guess it makes sense. And it meant a lot. And I think about what it is to be a father to spiritual children. Father Mark's going on 14 years of being here at Carroll College. How many children, how many generations of Carroll College graduates has he been a father to? And what I have witnessed and what so many of you have witnessed is a courage to challenge you to follow Jesus. It's not always easy, but it's worth it because that is the path to love. So late nights, early mornings, lots of time in prayer, lots of meetings, lots of travel. Even today, he was traveling this weekend to be a father. What a tremendous sacrifice, a tremendous sign of love, but all to say
it's worth it. Follow Jesus. Follow the path of love. What are you afraid of with your life, particularly if you're a young person? Don't be afraid. Give your heart to God. God is love. Don't be worried about what so-and-so is saying over here or so-and-so is saying over here. Do not be afraid. As followers and disciples of Jesus Christ, we have nothing to fear. I read another book just last month by Father Michael Gately, who's actually in Father Calloway's community, and this was about consecration to the Eternal Father. And we hear Jesus speak about God the Father in the gospel today. God is love. The scripture tells us perfect love casts out all fear. So if we draw to the Father, he will teach us courage. He will give us that gift in dark and difficult times. He will give us the peace to embrace whatever vocation we have. That is the good news. That is what we're here for. So what are you afraid of? Don't be afraid. Give your heart to love. Give your heart to God. Like St. Joseph, be obedient. When times get tough, like my dad, don't let it sway you. We have heaven. We've got it all. We don't have to be worried about this. And also, don't be afraid to reach out and to be a father. If you're a guy, if you're married, if you're thinking about getting married, if you're thinking about being a priest, don't be afraid of the priesthood, because fatherhood is good. You know, I don't know if Denzel Washington was onto something or not, but it certainly seems like the devil can terrorize all of us if we abandon fatherhood. And thanks be to God, he's given us so many good examples of fatherhood. Let's not lose fatherhood. The lack of fatherhood has touched all of us. Let us draw to the Father. Let us give our lives to the Father. It's eternal life. It's a life of love, peace, and hope. And then we have nothing to be afraid of other than drawing toward love and staying in God's love at all times.